These are some lecture notes that I made a few years ago when I brought a series of messages at a Bible college in North Carolina. And these messages were designed primarily to show the difference between what we call the Christian creedal system and the creedal system of the Antichrist. I don't think you live very long as a Christian until you realize that there are forces in opposition to you that will do everything they can to take you out of your standing, or try to anyway, and to reduce you down to the place where you're helpless and weak and without any hope. I believe, and I think you know also, that the Bible teaches that there are many antichrists. That it isn't just a system, but there are people involved. Christianity is not just a system, it's a person. Jesus Christ himself is a person. Those who go to make up the body of Christ are persons, they're people. So also is it true in the Antichrist system. There are those around who are the seed of Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, after man had fallen, God made this statement. If you turn there for a moment, please, I'd like to have you read it with your own eyes. After God appeared in the garden and he cried out, Adam, where art thou? Then we see a covenant being made between God and man. Verse 14, chapter 3, Genesis. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now I want you to notice, the woman's seed, I have no doubt you recognize as the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise that's made. God said through Paul, in the fullness of time, this is in the book of Galatians, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, the woman's seed. Now, we recognize that God has a seed on this earth. We are his seed, we who go to make up the body of Christ. And also, there is another seed here. It says between thy seed and her seed. God is here speaking to Satan, the one who brought about the fall of man. So, we must assume, we must believe, that if God has a seed on this earth, so also does the Antichrist have a seed. If we have a creedal system, and we believe that we do have one in the Bible, then also the Antichrist has a creedal system. Now the whole world is divided up into two factions. It's not black and white, and it's not Catholics and Protestants, it's not Democrats and Republicans. The whole world is divided up into two separate camps. Those who belong to God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In other words, those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, and those who stand in opposition to everything that the other group stands for. There's no static position, this. Jesus Christ said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So we only have two camps in the world. Those who are with Christ and those who are against Christ. Those who are against Christ are called Antichrist. And you must recognize that if you're going to live in this world as a Christian, that everything that's not a Christian, while they may appear passive to you and may appear of no harm to you whatever, nevertheless they are part of a system that's out to destroy you. And you've got to get that firmly fixed in your head. You can't just say, well, they don't understand, they're lost people. It's deeper than that, my friends. You've already appeared... you've already received some kind of opposition. You know something about what I'm talking about. But I have learned in my lifetime that those who are not Christ, even though they may appear for the moment not to be violently against you, can be so when provoked by their leader, his satanic majesty, the devil. So I'm going to give you the Christian creed in seven articles. And along with those seven articles, I'm going to give you the anti-Christian creed. And I want you to notice that in each one of these, it's something that you'll recognize very readily. I don't know whether you're going to be able to write this down or not. It's going to be rather extensive. I would recommend that the best thing for you to do is, after I get the tapes made, get the tape and sit back down and listen to it over again 3, 4, 5, 6 times until you get firmly fixed in your mind what this is. I consider this an important message. I have never recorded this message before, but I felt before I left on this trip that somewhere along the line I would bring it. This seems to be the time to do so, and so I want you to pay some attention to it. First of all, the first article in the Christian creed is that there is a personal God over man, and he's the creator of heaven and earth. Now, when I say personal God, I don't mean, I mean by that that he is a God of persons. I can say with all honesty and with all clarity of mind today that my God is my God. He's personal to me. And my God can say of me, that's my son. And I hope he can say the rest of it, in whom I'm well pleased, just as he did Christ. There is a personal God over this universe and over man, and he's the creator of heaven and earth. Now, the Antichrist creed, in opposition to this, I'm going to give you the opposite to each one as I go. The Antichrist creed is this: there is no personal God as creator. There is only eternal energy or force. There never has been an act of creation. Now, that is what your children will be taught in school. Some of you who are not too far out of high school were taught that. And this is the system of the Antichrist. Let me give it to you again. There is no personal God as creator. There is only eternal energy. They have what they call the Big Bang Theory, that somewhere back in the countless millions and billions or trillions of years ago, there was a huge explosion in the universe, and they still have to explain why there's a universe and what caused the explosion. But out of this came all of this mass that we call our universe around us, our solar system, hurled into space, and all of it began this great burst of energy, and there's nothing but energy, boundless energy, going on and on. And they say then that there never has been an act of creation. That's the first creed. Everything bounds on that. I said this time and again, you've probably heard me say it before, I'll say it again, that unless you believe the first 5 words of the Bible, the rest of the Bible won't make a bit of sense to you. The first 5 words of the Bible are, in the beginning God created. And until man gets that firmly fixed in his mind, the Bible is a hidden, lost book to him. And you cannot believe in theistic evolution. You cannot believe in non-theistic evolution. You cannot believe that anything here evolved. There is no evolving of force or matter or anything in this world. What we are seeing today is not a matter of evolving or evolution, but what we're seeing is the first act of creation of God just going on in its natural procedure. The second thing, the second creed, second part of the creed, besides man, there are created intelligences in this universe, and they're called angels. There is a kingdom of light in which God's angels operate. There is a kingdom of darkness in which the fallen angels under Satan operate. Satan is the enemy of both God and man, and he's called in the Bible the prince of this world. Now, all of us believe that as Christians. I'll go back over that, state it as well as I can. Besides man, there are created intelligences, and they are called angels. I believe the work of angels is not just related to this world, but rather to the universe at large. There is a kingdom of light in which God's angels operate, and there's a kingdom of darkness in which God's fallen angel, Satan, who was an archangel, perhaps the highest of all of them, in which he operates with his fallen angels. Satan is the enemy of both God and man, and he's called the prince of this world, and his realm is darkness. Now, the teaching on that is very evident in the Bible. As I said, if you believe the Bible, you'll have to believe that. That's really a part of the Christian creed. But the Antichrist creed comes along and goes something like this: there are no angels. They all poo-poo the idea. And I tell you, the reason I'm making such a to-do about angels, they are a very important part of the story of God. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but from Genesis right on through Revelation, you're going to find angels playing a part in the story of God. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said, I could have called legions of angels. One angel could destroy, literally, a nation. We find Daniel, when he's praying, after reading the prophecy of Jeremiah the prophet concerning the 70 weeks of captivity, or the 70 years of captivity, Daniel realizing that that time was coming to an end, and began to pray. And 21 days passed between the time that his prayer first went up and the prayer was answered, and the angel told him, he said, on my way to the answer to your prayer, I engaged the prince of Persia, indicating that there was an angel over the Persian Empire. I believe there still is. I believe there's an evil angel in charge of Iran. I believe there's an evil angel over Russia, perhaps several of them. I believe that everything that you and I see here in the visible physical realm, behind the scenes in the invisible spiritual realm, there's a warfare of some kind going on. Every skirmish you see here, everything you see going on here, there's something in the spiritual realm behind it that parallels it, that's going on in an active warfare. Now, the reason I believe that is because I believe the Bible teaches it. And these angels play a very, very important part in the economy of God. But the Antichrist forces come along. They have to say this because Satan himself is a fallen angel. Christ said, I saw Lucifer falling from heaven as a star, as a meteorite, so to speak. Saw him falling out. Now, they say there are no angels, good or evil. Therefore, because there are no angels, either good or evil, there are no kingdoms of either darkness or light. There's no such thing as Satan. Most of the world, when you talk about the devil, they'll laugh at you. They say, well, there's no such thing as the devil. I don't believe in that. If man doesn't believe in God, certainly can't believe in the devil. And you'll take the average church member today who's unregenerate, and you start talking about Satan and hell and the devil and these angels, they'll laugh at you. And the reason they laugh at you is because they don't believe the other side of the story. The positive side of it is that there is a personal God over this universe, and that there are angels, created beings, intelligences, along with man, and that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and light. The Antichrist forces will say this is just an old archaic term for evil as opposed to God, and the word God is simply a term used for good. I said something the other night, and I'm not sure that it was understood by everybody. Evidently it wasn't. But I said, in the eyes of the world, that good is simply God with another O in it, and evil is simply the devil with the D missing. And it is interesting that the devil is spelled D-E-V-I-L, evil, with a D on it. God is G-O-D with another O in it, is good. And the world looks at that and says, well, that's all it means. It just simply is piled up in that. And these two terms mean either good or evil, and it's not God and the devil. The Antichrist forces will have you to believe there is no devil, there is no kingdom of darkness, that there are no angels, there is no light, and that this is all just a meaningless terminology or jargon. Now we come to the third article of the Christian creed. And that is that man was created in original goodness, and he was made in the likeness of God. That is evident in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. By the time you get to chapter 2, you'll see that God saw his creation and he called it good. The minute God called it good, the last thing God said about man was he was his final act of creation as far as this world was concerned. The minute God said it was good, the devil steps on the scene and says it's not good. Yea, hath God said. And he immediately dealt imperfection into that which was perfect. All right, if man was created in original goodness and being made in the likeness of God, then the Antichrist says that man is a product of evolution. And he's neither good nor evil. Now, when we talk about evolution, remember this, that this isn't just a theory. Darwin was not the author of this. They talk about Darwin's theory of evolution. There have always been those. Go back into the Greek philosophers, and they believed that there was an evolving process going on. Go back to the ancient study of the Hindu religion. I don't know whether you're familiar with what they call karma or not, the perfect state. But the Hindus believe that we are going through one stage after another. We live in this life, we die, we become something else. And we go on through that life and we die. And if we're good in this present life, we go to a higher state. If we're evil, we go to a lower state. We got to start all over again. Until ultimately, after having gone through one stage after another, and we finally get to a higher and higher place. In other words, it's a system of works which is supposed to grace. After you get to a certain state and you're good in that particular life, you arrive at that high stage, then you come to this point of nirvana or karma or whatever it is, and they come to this high state and they finally have reached it. They finally go into a state of glory. Satan would love to have man believe that. They talk about evolution today as if it were a fact. But let me say this right at the outset. I have a list. I don't have it with me, unfortunately, and I probably wouldn't give it to you anyway. But there's a list of books that I compiled about 10 years ago that still holds true of all the high school and college textbooks used in the United States that teach, not as a theory, but teach as a positive fact, evolution. And I'll tell you something, my dear people, it's almost impossible to find any kind of a book whatever today that's used in the study of mankind in sociology or the science of man that does not teach evolution. Now, why is that? Why is it all of a sudden? Did you know that it's only in our lifetime that evolution began to be taught in schools? It wasn't taught, or it could have been discussed. Someone may have believed it, but they wouldn't dare teach it. And all of a sudden, I don't know whether you're familiar with the Scopes trial or not down in Tennessee, where Clarence Darrow and who was the other one? William Jennings Bryan, wasn't it? Got into the classroom, and they had a classic case where a man was accused by the school board of teaching that man descended from a monkey. And that, in other words, evolution. They call it the Scopes Monkey Trial. And the press made a big to-do out of it. And there's a lot of hooping and hollering about it, and people were laughing about it, and all kinds of jokes came up. But it was a very serious thing. And what it did, it set the stage, finally, and the Supreme Court today of the United States, along with almost every other high tribunal and every other nation on earth, has finally authorized this not as a teaching of theory any longer, but as being taught as a fact. And it is, at best, a theory. I love what happened. I don't know whether you've ever read H.G. Wells or not, but H.G. Wells was an atheist, and an agnostic, let's put it that way, which is a polite word for atheism. And H.G. Wells wrote a book, or several books, that was a rather large set, called The History of Mankind, or something of that order. And he starts off in those books, he said, now, not knowing anything about back in the primeval order, as they call it, or the prehistoric order, he made some statements like this. This is interesting. He started off and he said, we must assume, and we must suppose, and we must theorize. In other words, all of this, it was all suspicion was what it was. We suspect that this took place, and we must believe, conclude that this happened, and this is possible that it happened this way. And after about three chapters of going on, we must suppose, we must assume, and so on, he starts off and literally says something like this. Now, having established the facts, we must go on. This is what a lot of people do. They take a theory like this, and because it's pleasing to the carnal mind and to the natural man, they go along and they assume that it's fact. They say, did you know that if you stopped and quizzed 1,000 people on any given street in America today and quizzed them very carefully and asked them point-blank questions on the origin of man and is there a God and is there a devil and so on, most of them would come right down and will fit in with exactly what I'm telling you this morning. They have swallowed the Antichrist creed hook, line, and sinker. And they believe it not as a theory, but as a fact. So, the Article 3 that I'm giving you, man was created in original goodness, being made in the likeness of God. The Antichrist forces say that man is a product of evolution, is neither good nor evil. He's simply in a process of evolution in which he's continually going on to a higher state. And believe it or not, there are multitudes of people who actually believe the world is getting better and better and better. You know why? Because they worship at the shrine of science. And science tells them that the world is getting better. One of these days they say, now look, we've already whipped tuberculosis that killed multitudes of people. Thank God for that. We've already gotten rid of polio, where thousands of children were crippled. And people say, see, we're just getting better and better and better. And we're going to find an answer to our heart trouble now if everybody will go to jogging and quit eating anything with cholesterol in it and get the weight off of them. I told my wife the other day, she's talking about how to get this weight off me and subject to heart attack. I said, I've been to a lot of funerals. I've seen very few fat people in caskets. But I've seen more thin people in caskets than I have fat ones. And I don't know whether that proves anything or not. But I've seen some awfully old, big people. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but here's the thing I'd like to say to you. That we are seeing today people falling down at the shrine of science, and they're saying to science, you've got the answer for us, you get us out of this mess there. And well, science is certainly coming up with some great answers. We're seeing some diseases whipped and sawn. But you see, here's one thing that science can't do anything with. They can't do anything with the spiritual condition of man. And regardless of what man is trying to do, and I'm going to give you some examples. In Mobile, many years ago, out in a place called St. Stephen's Road, out around Three Mile Creek, there was nothing out there but a bunch of Negro shanties. I mean, they were the worst things you ever saw in your life. They were raised up, they had some rocks or bricks or whatever they could, or old concrete blocks, and they were raised up off the ground about 2 feet, and they were slab floors, and you could actually throw a cat out through the cracks in them. They had old blankets and stuff stuck in them, the windows were knocked out, and out in the yard there were old mattresses and old bicycle parts and old car parts. You've been by places like that, haven't you? Looked like the city dump, and yet there were thousands of people living right there in that area. So the government comes in when they start all this program, and what they did, they moved these blacks out temporarily, and they went in there and they built some nice brick apartments and put screens on the window, and they put nice white porcelain lavatories in and commodes and tile baths and air conditioning and the whole works. I mean, they made an example out of that place. Now, you know what we've got? I think it was at that time a very reasonable figure, something like $7 million was spent on this slum. Now, you know what we've got down there on St. Stephen's Road? We've got a $7 million slum. The same people were moved back into it. Oh, listen, my friends, you can put a new suit of clothes on the man, and that doesn't change the man. You got to put a new man in the suit. And you can educate them. You can move them into better circumstances, create a better environment for them, give their children hot lunches in school. You can do all of that. Teach them how to read. Teach them how to elevate themselves until the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually changes the man. You've got the same old problem that you always had. It's a strange thing that the evolutionists and the theorists and the do-gooders of this nation can't figure this out, but you can't change people by changing their environment. It doesn't work. The only thing that changes them, the only thing that will change the environment is to change man. When I was in Africa a few years ago, I was in a little place called Bibota. That simply means in the Liberian language, I think that's Gunta. I think it means Bible town. I went into this little village. It looked like any other African village, except for one thing. They had the same mud streets, the dirt streets, hard backpack clay. They had the same huts and everything, but the children were all neat and clean. The streets were all swept and clean. You go into the huts, there was no odor. They were clean. They had means of elevating the sides, and they could air them out. The people the women you saw were dressed nicely. The men were dressed nicely. They had smiles on their face. They were polite. The whole town had made a profession of faith in Christ. Not too far down the path into the jungle is another town in which it's presided over by a man who's a witch doctor. And you go into that town, after you leave Bible Top, which is clean and neat and well preserved, go into this other, and there are all kinds of filth in the streets. The children are running around naked. The women have no tops on their dresses. They're wearing just simply skirts. The men have leers on their faces and they're evil looking and scowling, and their houses are a stench. And all up and down the streets in this little town is nothing but filth and darkness. The whole town is different. It's just as if you walk out of light into darkness. What made the difference? One of the group do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other group does. It's that radical. And you can see the difference when you see what Christ has done. No do-gooder went in there and told them to sweep the streets. I preached a little church one night. I had been out in the village, and there was an old chief there who had just married himself about four or five new wives, and they were all about 9 to 10 to 12 years old, just little children. And they were naked from the waist up, just little kids developing, and they had the white stuff smeared all over them and the chalk on their teeth. They went through the purification rites. He was taking each one at a different time as his bride, and they were all to be impregnated as they came old enough to bear children. And I invited him and his entire bunch of women, his harem, to come to church down there where I was preaching. I said, I want you to come. And this is the only time in my life I think I ever used a gimmick to get a man to come. I gave him a Liberian silver dollar. I handed it to him. I had it in my pocket. He saw it. He was fascinated by it. I handed it to him. I said, I'll give it to you if you come tonight. So that night they came. They wouldn't come in the church now, which was a building erected there in a little place. And they were off to one side. I got down to the end of my message, and I made this statement. I said, is there someone here tonight who believes what I've said, who believe that Jesus Christ is what I claim him to be, that this book which I hold in my hand, which is God's book, tells us that there's a man in Christ Jesus who's come to this earth to save mankind, to save you from your sins? Do you tonight believe that? If so, if there's just one, would you stand up or come here and stand before me? Tell this congregation, tell these people that you're now believing that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Well, outside I heard a kind of a scurry, and here comes one of these girls, about 12, 13 years old. Did you know what she was doing when she came into that church? She's taking the extra folds in her dress and pulled them up over her and actually covered herself. Nobody told her she had to do that, but when she walked into that building to make a profession of faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit apparently within her had already directed her in what was right and what was wrong. Nobody told her that. You see, the Antichrist forces would have you believe that it's all going to work out to man's advantage. Man is coming into this higher state. All right, the fourth article. We Christians believe that man fell from his original goodness and so came under the law of sin and death and therefore needs a redeemer. That is what's taught in the Bible. Antichrist forces will tell you that man has never fallen. His nature is not sinful, therefore he needs no redemption. Man is capable of the highest development in wisdom, knowledge, and goodness. There's no end to the good he can do if he is educated enough or has the right opportunity or his environment is good enough. And all of our welfare agencies, our state, our government, our local, all operate on that principle, believe it or not. Not the principle of Christ, but the principle of Antichrist. Did you all get that? The fourth article, man fell from his original goodness, came under the law of sin and death, therefore needs redemption. Antichrist's creed tells us that man has never fallen. His nature is not sinful, therefore he needs no redemption. Man is capable of the highest development in wisdom, knowledge, and goodness, and there's no end to the good that he can do. All right. The fifth article of the Christian creed is that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, and that he became man in order to redeem man from sin and death through the cross. He is now, at this present time, our high priest and our intercessor. As part of what I told you yesterday when I was talking about the contending for the faith once delivered the saints, that this is the prime article that we must contend for, that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, the sinless Son of God, and that his redemptive work at Calvary was completed in his resurrection when he interceded on high and became our high priest and our intercessor. That is what we believe. Let me tell you what the Antichrist forces will teach you. This is the creed of the Antichrist. Jesus was only one of the sons of God. He was not the Son of God. God is incarnate alike in all men. Antichrist will tell you, Jesus Christ is not our high priest. His work as Savior was completed in giving us an ideal moral life to live by. How many times have you heard that? Oh, the only reason Jesus Christ came is to show us what man could be. I love what one of the Puritans said. He said, if Christ is a man such as we, then let us be men such as he. We need no high priest. God is in everyone. And the only way you can reach God is to commune inwardly. Go out and sit under a tree somewhere and commune with God. You see, the Antichrist forces will tell you that there is no such thing as redemption, that we're all the sons of God. And they'll tell us that we're all God's children, that God is the universal father of all mankind, that we're all brothers. How many times have you heard that? All the songs that you hear today, all the hippie songs of the 60s and song will tell you that the great brotherhood of man was finally uniting, and for a time it looked as if they were. There is a brotherhood among men, but remember this, it's not the brotherhood of Christ. It's the brotherhood of the Antichrist. All right, the sixth article of the Christian creed is that there is to be a kingdom of God set up at the return of Christ, in which the church, which is his body, shall reign with him, and at that time all nations shall reign in peace. That is part of our creed. Antichrist says there will be no return of Christ. There is no resurrection of the dead. Death in itself, they will tell you, is simply an ascent to a higher life. Do you know how many books have been written in the past few months on this business of life after death by men who are Antichrist? There's only one book on life after death, and it's the Bible. You don't have to get another book. Anything man writes other than this book right here on life after death is nothing but fiction. And yet there are those today, Reader's Digest has run articles, Time Magazine has had articles, the Life is now coming out periodically with articles with the magazine, and they've had an article here on what men see when they die. People have written these accounts, there have been movies made on it. The fantasies that you'll see today, such as some of these astral movies that are being made, like Star Wars and so on, if you look behind the scenes on those things, look at Star Wars. There's a good example. Or the Empire Strikes Back. I told Phyllis it'll be The Empire Strikes Out. But look at all these. Look at these things that are being made. If you'll notice this, that men such as Darth Vader are made to stand for evil, and that those who are supposed to stand for light are light, fair-haired people. With blondish hair. Now they've got a black man in on it. They had to do that, which is nothing but tokenism. But one of them has a sword of light, which is white. The other one is a dark red sword. In other words, it's darkness versus light and so on. And most of the world would have you believe this is the way it is. That out here this is taking place out to 20 eons from now, and this is the way it's going to be. And it's amazing to me that the thinking of mankind, our children are being conditioned all over this world today to believing that's what it is. It's darkness and light, that it's not really Jesus Christ versus Antichrist, that there is no, that they talk about life after death, they're freezing people in this, and you're going to find people being brought back to life in these movies, and that these visions that they see, this tunnel that they go through, and down here at the end is light, and they go out and hear these great choruses singing, and this beautiful music and all that, and they come back and tell about it and write a book in it. It never dawns on anybody that's Satan doing that. That it has nothing to do with Christ. And in fact, if people don't believe in Christ, they certainly can't believe in Satan. And they believe that every man can die now, that they all die, regardless of whether Christians or not, Hindus, whoever they are, and that somehow or another it's just going to be nothing but endless light and glory and happiness, and we're all going to be out there rejoicing, and kind of like a chorus of rockets stretching out for 10,000 miles, all kicking our heels up in the air to the beat of a beautiful music. What a picture it paints. All right. Antichrist forces then, according to Article 6 of the Christian Creed, is there will be no return, no resurrection of the dead. Death is in itself is an ascent to a higher life. On earth, there's only to be perfect humanity, a new social order. And under this order, the evils of the past and present will be done away with, and the kingdom of man will have arrived. Did you know that back years ago, when Billy Graham was in Huntsville, Alabama, that he actually stood out there on the platform where these great rockets were tested and so on, and this was his opening statement. He said, "I believe that the golden age has arrived." Now, if Billy Graham believes that the golden age of man has arrived by the creation of rockets and going to the moon and all the rest of it, Billy Graham sure got a lot to learn. That isn't where it comes from. It doesn't come through anything man has. I am totally dependent today. I don't know about you, but I'm totally dependent on one person to bring about my golden age, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is nothing else. Not only in this life, but the life to come. And the sooner you get that fixed in your mind and heart, the better off you're going to be. There's nothing in this life worth living for apart from him. There's no reason for us being here. There's no reason for you to be sitting here this morning and listening to me. There's no reason for this Bible or your home or keeping your health or raising your children or anything else that you do. There's no reason behind it unless you have Jesus Christ at the very center of it, the core of it. But Antichrist doesn't believe that. All right, we come to the seventh thing. The seventh principle. And that is that the Christian creed teaches that the contest of good and evil is going to culminate in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Antichrist, the son of perdition. That the war is going to be fought between those two over mankind. The man from heaven and the man of the earth who will be cast into the bottomless pit and will be kept there for a period of time until he's released. And then we'll be let out to do the same thing all over again to prove to mankind that even under the best of circumstances, a millennial reign of Christ on this earth, that man in his best circumstances is altogether evil and will go out and do evil at the first opportunity. Antichrist Christ teaches this, that there is no bottomless pit. There can be no contest because all evil is only imperfect good, and will ultimately disappear as humanity progresses and develops, which he's doing very rapidly. They'll tell you that in the last 50 years, more development has been made in mankind's progress than in the previous 5,000 years. That may well be true. But that still doesn't eliminate the need for salvation, does it? Now, I made up as briefly as I could the theological system of the Antichrist can be contained in three articles. Now, you may write these down. I wish you would. Number one, there's no personal God over the universe. No personal God over the universe. Number two, man is his own God. The God of this world. This is man's world, and it's up to man to do with it what he pleases. Listen to the people today who are environmentalists, for instance. Now, I'm not against protection of our environment. In fact, I fought in that war a long time before a lot of these people ever thought about getting into it. But the environmentalists will tell you that unless man cleans up his air, man isn't going to do this, unless man cleans up his water and so on. As if man's world here, man was responsible for man's world. I believe that the God who created this world and put it into existence is perfectly capable of taking care of whatever checks and balances there are if man will just observe what those checks and balances are. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe there are certain fish in the sea that are bigger than other fish who live on these smaller ones, and the smaller ones live on smaller ones, and the smaller ones live on smaller than that, that there's a balance and order, that the reason there are big fish and little fish is because the little fish grow for one purpose only. They propagate very quickly. They propagate in vast numbers to feed the next largest order of fish. And the next largest order is eaten by the next largest order, and so on down the line. Man has always operated on that. All of nature that you look at out here, what we call nature. And listen, as a Christian, never use the term Mother Nature. Never use it. The Antichrist forces use that terminology all the time. The God of this world is not our mother. He's our Father. And He created this world, and nature itself, as we look at it, is a product of God's creation, not evolution, not something that man does. It's not man's environment, it's God's environment. But Antichrist, in his theological system, will tell you there's no personal God over this world. Man is the God of his own world. The second thing. Well, I gave you that. First one, there's no personal God over the universe. Secondly, man is himself his own God, the God of this world. And third, this is what Antichrist will tell the whole world one of these days. I am the representative of all humanity. Therefore, if you'll worship me, you are in reality worshiping yourself. He's going to be the epitome of everything that man thinks man ought to be. He's going to be handsome. He's going to have a personality that won't stop. He's going to be able to charm people, lead them off. They'll listen to every word. It'll melt on their ears. It'll fall around them like refreshing dew. They'll say, this is what we've been waiting for all these thousands of years. We've finally found someone that's going to take us out of our dilemma. He's going to have the answer. And listen, we are rapidly going into decline. Our monetary system is failing. 1 year, did you know that agricultural experts are saying today that the United States is only 3 months away from starvation, that they're totally dependent upon this year's crops and this year's produce to get us through the winter and into next year? There are no other nations to feed us, my friends. We've been the breadbasket of the world for a long, long time. Even Russia can't produce like we do. We've got the technology, the know-how. In this country, God has blessed the United States above any nation on the face of the earth. I believe only for one reason, if you will, please, that the gospel of Christ has been preached here more freely, and we've had more opportunity, and there's been more propagation of the Christian faith in the United States of America than any nation on earth. We've sent out more missionaries. We've been kinder to the nation of Israel than any other nation on earth. We've defended them. We don't even know why we're doing it. We're coming to the place where we're not going to do it, and I get that. But we've forgotten God now. And we're told now that we're only about 3 months away from starvation. And could be that if crops fail this year, and they have been constantly, Texas is totally annihilated. Parts of Iowa, billions and billions of dollars worth of corn and wheat and rye and oats and so on have to be plowed under. There's no product this year. Cattle have died by the millions. Slaughter of animals has taken place. Prices have driven farmers out of business. People don't realize how desperate they need the farming community in this country, and they've done less for them than anybody else. They've taken care of people and welfare in the cities who do nothing but sit around and break windows and write filthy things on the walls. They'll take care of them and let the farmers starve to death, and not realizing they have to have him. And you see, we're a bunch of fools. And we're fast coming to the place where we're going to pay a price for it. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And he's going to say, I've got a way out of your monetary problems. I've got a way out of all this denominationalism that you have. I think all the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and the Charismatics, they all ought to be together in one church. And for the time being, I'll hit it up and I'll show you what to do. And I'll bring you into this. If Jim Jones, a mere man, not too smart at that, if he could get 1,000 people to commit suicide, think what a man with the charm and the intelligence and the wit that the son of Satan's going to have. Think what he's going to be able to do. He's going to lead multitudes of people off down the primrose path of destruction. And he's going to set them up and say, look, I'm a perfect example of what mankind should be. If you follow me, you worship me, you in reality are just worshiping yourself. I am the epitome of what man is. And men are going to believe it. And he's going to promise them things, and he's going to work miracles in this matter. He's going to straighten out our political system. Sociologically, we're going to have men at peace. There's not going to be any war on the earth for a period of time. He's got it all figured out. And you know, it can happen overnight. It can happen tomorrow morning. It could happen today. Television could pick this up. All of a sudden, this man appears on the scene. He can walk into the highest tribunals on earth. He'll have complete dominion over the nations in Europe, over the United States. I believe our Congress, our House of Representatives, our president, everybody's looking for an answer. If one man comes along and says, I've got the answer, and can prove it, and with the personality and the money behind him, and the kind of organization that he'll have, he can do it, and he'll lead the world and take it over. And it can happen so quick. And my brethren, I hope we've got the sense to know that when it comes and when it happens, that we're not to bow down to that. That regardless of how good it sounds and how charming it is and how much benefit there may be in it for us, we must take a stand against it. And the minute you do, put it down, your troubles begin. You're going to have to refuse some things that would seem perfectly normal for you. You can actually, as a Christian, your mind will be so manipulated and so controlled that you'll actually rationalize that you should do it. There's no reason why you shouldn't. But listen to me, I may not be on the scene. I may be dead and gone. But you remember what I say, especially you younger ones. Don't bow down to it. Stand against it. Because the only thing you've got to cling to is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this system in the world today. You recognize it, as I've spoken to you this morning. It's being taught, it's believed by most of mankind. And when the one person comes along who's going to epitomize all this, it will be done in that order. The Antichrist forces are on the scene right now. They're out to destroy, and they are doing it very rapidly. All right, that's it for the moment.